Good afternoon. It is 12 noon. We'd like to welcome everyone to the Borough Assembly regular meeting. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
James?
Zoom, yes.
Scott?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
Rob?
Here.
Donna?
Here. And I guess I forgot to add, this is Monday, March 3rd. Thank you. Now it's time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, we have approval of the minutes for February 18, 2025 Assembly Meeting Minutes. Could I get a motion, please?
I'd move to approve the minutes of February 18, 2025.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Next, amendment and approval of the meeting agenda. Could I get a motion for that, please?
Move to approve the agenda as it stands.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Motion been put forward and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thanks. Next, we have public hearings. There are no public hearings for today. And then bid awards, same, there are none. Next, we have persons to be heard related to agenda items. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on items regarding today's agenda? If you would, please come forward, state your name, who you represent, and please note a 5-minute time limit. Thank you.
Hello, it's Lori Ann, your Harbor Master. Hey, I just wanted to, in case it just goes by quickly, I would like you to vote in favor, all of you, for the resolution adopting the Visitor Industry Management Plan, because it would really give your Harbor Master some great tools as we move forward. With the upcoming conversations probably around the tour ship opportunity we have. In particular, if for the public too, if they haven't taken a look at that, that Appendix 1 that goes along at the back part of that, plan has is all about the Petersburg Vessel Best Management Practices, and it's going to really be able to help the harbor enforce some of the code of conduct that we as a borough would appreciate them to address. So just a little shout out for that visitor management plan. We did a lot of hard work, and it would give us a lot of tools as department heads moving forward. So thanks.
Anyone else?
Hello. My name is Ellie Brochat. A year ago, my husband, our 3 children, and I made the difficult decision to leave our hometown of Sitka and move here to Petersburg. We left behind generations of family history, friendships, and a community we loved, but we also left behind something else, a place that no longer felt like home. Today, I stand before you to support the city's partnership with American Cruise Lines and to also issue a warning that if Petersburg does not take control of its own tourism industry, someone else could. Tourism is coming. That's a fact, whether we invite it or not, whether we prepare for it or not. And in Sitka, the City Assembly had a choice. They were offered a partnership with the cruise lines to build a dock that could accommodate the ships. By voting yes, they could have maintained control over their own future. Instead, they voted no. And when they voted no, a private entity said yes. A private entity built Sitka's cruise ship dock. A private entity took control of the industry. And as a result, the city lost its power to make decisions that protected its people, its own businesses, its own environment, and its own cruise ship schedule. I saw what happens firsthand when a city relinquishes control. My family was lucky. We lived across the street from a local boat haul out. We had a beautiful home with a beautiful water view where whales and wildlife thrived. Then, one morning, we woke up to the sound of a crane. Piling after piling drove into the water in front of us. No one knew exactly what was coming. It was a private venture, after all. And then the first cruise ship came. It was a 5,000-passenger ship. then another, then another, until two massive ships towered over us daily from April through October. The boatyard across the street became a full-fledged cruise terminal. The roads became congested with diesel buses, while our parks, trails, and playgrounds were overrun with tourists. My own children became part of the spectacle. Buses would drop hundreds of tourists off at Sitka's sandy beach. Strangers snapped photos of them playing in the water, treating our home like some Alaskan Disneyland. Our grocery stores were emptied out by visitors. Our roads shut down to accommodate the influx. The sense of community faded. It became a place about money, not home. And through it all, the city, the people who should have had a say, were only playing damage control. Even still, I'm not here to tell you that tourism is bad. I greatly support the small passenger cruise ship industry and the small business opportunities that come along with it. What I am telling you is that if Petersburg does not take control, somebody else could. If the city does not partner with the cruise lines will likely find a private entity willing to take that deal. And when that happens, Petersburg will no longer decide its own future. We came to Petersburg because we believe in this town. I believe its leaders have the foresight to do what Sitka did not, and I urge you, do not make Sitka's mistakes. The city must be in control of its own tourism industry, because once that control is lost, it's impossible to get it back. Thank you for your time.
Testimony.
Hello, my name is Molly Tiber. I am here representing myself. And for the record, I am off the clock as I am a borough employee. I want to encourage each of you to approve today a letter to be sent to our Washington delegation detailing how cuts are currently ruining community cohesion in Petersburg. Please use your community elected position to reach out often to Murkowski, Sullivan, and Bagage. These federal cuts affect each of us individually and drastically as a community. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Linda Slatt, and I am speaking for myself also, and I would like to encourage the Assembly to send the letter that you have in your packet to our congressional delegation as soon as possible. I really appreciate seeing that letter in the agenda and the fact that you're considering it. It gives me some hope. Things are pretty bad right now, and I believe they're going to get worse. And I think that the Assembly can do a lot to mitigate that by showing your concern for the vitality of our community. I don't think that this is a time to sit back and wait to see what happens. I think, you know, the time is now to stand up for the health and vitality of our community. Thank you.
Anthony Tiber, speaking for myself, and I'm also here to support the letter to our Alaska delegates to Congress. There's two other bullet points I would actually like to see added to it. One of them being something condemning the cuts to NOAA, and the other one condemning the potential tariffs that are coming up. We here depend on NOAA for weather reporting. It helps keep people safe and potentially save lives. And the other facet of that is that I think the Fisheries Administration, part of NOAA, is possibly going to be disrupted to where our catch sharing agreements could be in jeopardy. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
Hi, Liz Cabrera, Community and Economic Development Director, and I almost don't have to speak, but I will. Two things. One of them is the visitor management plan, and just echoing what you heard already, I think one of the interesting things that came out of that whole process was a sense that we actually do have some say in different ways of how this could proceed, and there was sort of this sense of empowerment through that process of really understanding a little bit about the industry that we didn't understand before, and understanding our infrastructure and how it works with that industry. and what we can do to affect that industry. And all of those things run through that management plan. And I think the people that were involved with that process really came away with a really solid understanding of our place in this and what we can and cannot do. So just encourage you to adopt it, and at least as a starting point for a blueprint for moving forward and something to reference and track of what's happening, and has some good data in there that's real information, real numbers about what's actually occurring. So that's that. And then the other thing regarding the letter in your packet, I just want to encourage you to also include, I think you have a detailed list of federal funding throughout the borough, and add that as an enclosure to this letter. The letter just kind of has a overview of some different issues, but this really kind of touches on each individual program. And I'm sure, just like I have been asked over and over again about different impacts, I'm sure all of you are also being asked about different impacts, but just a couple of highlights for the folks at home. There's probably almost $1 million to the general fund between PILT and Department of Justice for the police department. Over $1 million to the school district between Secure Rural Schools, Support for Education, and the food program. Between Medicaid and Medicare and veterans, that's topping $10 million between assisted living, for the medical center. Housing, $350,000, that's for subsidy to elderly housing. Infrastructure projects that are in progress, that's probably, I have 13, 14, 15, like $16, $17 million that's currently on hold, and we don't know whether, we assume we're gonna get, we don't know what we're gonna get. Some other grants, certainly $3, $4 million in other grants that are either been applied for or are leveraged with federal dollars. And then lastly, essential air service, which is spread out across the state, but it's probably $4 or $5 million over the course of the year. So none of the programs are 100%, almost all, none of them are 100% reliant on federal funding, but everything has that woven towards it. The challenge would be, how do we make that up? And in a lot of cases, there's no mechanism for us to make that up. So I just encourage you to keep on as this process moves forward and send in the specifics so that they have the details about how it'll affect us.
Is there anyone else who would like to testify today? Okay. Are there anyone?
Yes, sir. I do have someone on Zoom.
Thank you.
I have actually two hands up. I'm going to allow Sarah Fine-Walsh first. Okay, Sarah, you should be here if you can unmute yourself. Which I think is star six. Sarah, we're going to go ahead and go to Elizabeth Bacom while you try to unmute.
Hi, this is Liz Bacom. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Yay, okay. my name is Liz Bacom, PO Box 683, and I'm speaking for myself. I urge you all to vote to approve the sending of the proposed letter to our DC delegation. A unanimous message from our local elected officials will carry a lot of weight. Additionally, every decision being made from here on out regarding local budgets must include a caveat for catastrophic loss of federal revenue, programs, and jobs. If planning does not coincide with the rather routine discussion of budget, staffing programs, and capital expenses, then we might all be caught with our pants down. Now's that for a visual. But seriously, it's time to push back against extreme political polarization roll up our sleeves, sharpen those pencils, and prepare for the proverbial fork in the road this community might be facing if the Washington administration continues their arbitrarily and poorly researched cuts. Thank you for your service to our magnificent little community.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Liz.
Okay, I think we have Sarah. Let's try this again. One moment.
Okay. Hi, this is Sarah Fine-Walsh. Little technical difficulties. Thank you, Debbie. Just calling to voice my support for the letter to the federal delegation. I think it does a good job painting a pretty bleak picture of what could happen to Petersburg and Alaska if the federal course is not changed. And I want to thank the members of the assembly who participated in drafting this letter. Also to the members of the assembly who've already used their voices in their seats to reach out to the federal delegation. But the assembly as a whole is more powerful than any one member. So I do support this letter and ask that for a unanimous approval. I also support the amendments mentioned by Community Development Director Liz Cabrera and by Anthony Tiber. It may be that we need to start sending a series of letters, but I do support the letter as written and ask that you approve it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else online or otherwise? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to persons to be heard unrelated to agenda items. Is there anyone wishing to speak unrelated? Okay, seeing none. Next, we have boards, commission, and committee reports. There are none. Consent agenda also has one item. That is the Rockies Marine Tidelands lease renewal. Rockies Marine, Inc. wishes to renew their Tidelands lease with the borough through March 5, 2030 at an annual rate of $4,572. Could I get a motion, please?
I would move to approve this lease renewal.
Second that.
All right, we have a motion by Member Stanton Greger and a second by Member Newman. Any discussion? Seeing none, clerk, would you please call the roll?
Jay?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Passes unanimously. Next, we have a report of other officers. Petersburg Medical Center CEO Hofstetter will update the assembly on the medical center activities.
Hi, good afternoon. Phil Hofstetter, Petersburg Medical Center CEO. My report is submitted and current. Obviously, the latest information is not in there related to the Medicaid cuts. As you heard today, the impacts are pretty broad and great. Also affecting Petersburg Medical Center, we have a third of our funding that comes from Medicaid, so it'd be pretty substantial depending on how that gets rolled out. I did a PMC Live with KFSK last Thursday, which we do monthly, and invited the CEO of Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association on. It is recorded. If you have a chance, it's worth listening to. Talks in detail with the state and specific to Petersburg Medical Center on the potential of some of those cuts. Obviously, we don't know much on the detail, and that makes all the difference on what we would do operationally, what we would do if we had to be put in that situation, what kind of cuts that would be for the organization. Right now, Petersburg Medical Center makes it work. It's unusual as a community hospital that it does not have a tax base for programs. And right now, that would be something that we would have to put forward if we were gonna be in a situation where we have to cut programs or cut certain services in the organization, and then we have to decide as a community if that's going to be something we would offset and supplement. So obviously the burden gets shifted, and so it doesn't go away, it just gets shifted. I have more detail. If you need to, I've reached out to Murkowski's office and wrote a letter. I can provide that into the packet next time as well, so you have that letter of detail. But happy to answer any questions. Thanks.
Hey, Phil, was there, did they freeze any past last month or the month before funds on Medicaid or Medicare for you?
No, we have not. There's a couple of things are fast moving. We have not had any of our grants affected with any of the executive orders that were initiated. And also our project up the hill so far has not been affected and is still on track and on budget, under budget actually. So still looking good from that standpoint. But I have not had any interruptions as far as I know. But things could change on a moment's notice.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
So unfortunately.
Thank you for your report. I would also concur. I did listen to that call-in or that meeting the other day that you had on the radio. Very informative.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we were to have U.S. Forest Service District Ranger Carrie Case providing an update, but she is not able to be here. So we will next move on to the BDO audit report. Vicki Shrestha and George Barker will present the findings of the borough's FY 2024 financial audit.
Good afternoon. This is Vicki Shrestha. George Barker actually cannot attend the meeting today. He's actually taking an exam as we speak, so it's going to be only me. So I was going to, first of all, start by sharing my screen. So let me know if that works, and let me know if you can hear me right now first.
Yes, thank you. We can.
Okay, perfect. So I am going to share my screen. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
All right. So first of all, my name is Vicki Shrestha, and I am one of the partners in the BDO office here in Anchorage. And we have completed the audit of the financial statements and the federal single audit for the June 30, 2024 for the borough. First of all, I would really like to start by thanking Jody and all her crew over there that make sure to get all of the information to us in a timely manner to get this done. It's as it has been for past several years, they really do a great job of keeping all the books in really good shape and making sure that the compliance are followed for the federal requirements. So first of all, I would just like to go through a brief overview of our audit, basically. So the audit wrap-up document, I believe, and the financial statements have been provided to you. I was just going to go through the audit wrap-up document that basically summarizes the result of the audit. And then if there is anything else you want me to touch on, either in the financial statements or in the wrap-up document, I can do that too. So first of all, we have completed our audit of the financial statements. Our financial statements audit was also subject to an audit with government auditing standards, since you get federal and state funding and you report as a government. The first bullet point here, the objective of our audit was to obtain reasonable, not absolute assurance about whether the financial statements are free from material misstatements. I just always like to point that out because the scope of the audit does not include looking at everything that goes through your financial statements. It's a risk-based approach. And then when it comes to compliance audit, there is guidance set as to what needs to be done, and that's what we follow. The third bullet point there, we issued an unmodified or a clean opinion on the financial statements and released our report on February 6, 2025. The fourth bullet point, we issued an unmodified opinion on your federal single audit too. And then the last bullet point over here, all records and information requested by BDO was freely available for inspection. After that, I'm going to just go to some of the significant risks. Just to note, on our audit, we do focus our attention on some of your more significant risk, and those are noted over here. In your case, it would just be the grant revenue, your management override of control, where things are running outside your normal control process. And then you do have some segregation of IT issues. So we just look at some of the risk associated with it. As far as corrected and uncorrected misstatements, as far as corrected, we did have one corrected misstatement on of an item that was not capitalized for fixed assets purposes for the motor pool. So that's included. That was one adjustment that was made. As far as uncorrected misstatements, there's some GASB 68 or 75 related leases that management has chosen not to book in the financial statements, but those are really minimal in nature. And we do agree that it does not pose a risk or misstate the financial statements. The next slide over here talks about internal control over financial reporting. As part of our audit, we just don't go dive into the numbers. We start by looking at the controls that you have in place around your financial reporting process. And as part of our understanding of that process, if we notice any issues, we group it together into one of the three buckets defined over here: a control deficiency, a significant deficiency, or a material weakness. Any deficiency that we deem to be significant deficiency or material weakness would be presented in writing to the board, or in your case, since you do report under government auditing standards, it does get reported as a finding. Through our process, we didn't note any material weaknesses, but we did note one significant deficiency, like we said earlier. So there was an asset that we found for the motor pool that was noted that was not capitalized in the financials, and we did post an adjustment related to that. So there was a little bit of a control breakdown over there. So that's what's presented as a significant deficiency or a finding for the year. As far as compliance with your federal requirements go, we do similar kind of things where we look at the controls the controls in place for your compliance requirements, how you're going to follow it. And based on that, we also, same thing, group it into one of those three criterias. And we also would report any instances of non-compliance with laws and regulation that we find through the audit. I'm just glad to report that there's nothing reported as far as the federal single audit goes. So clean audit for the federal single audit. As far as your estimates goes, your allowance for uncollected accounts is some of your estimate. And then probably the biggest one over here is your pension and OPEB. Your pension OPEB liabilities. In your case, the pension is actually a liability, but OPEB is an asset right now. This information is really just obtained from the audit that is done at the state level. There is like a allocation report that's presented from the department, Division of Retirement, and that information is booked on your financial statements. Other required communication, not a lot to report here. We didn't have any significant changes in our planned audit strategies. We don't know of any alternative accounting treatments that management has applied in the financial statements, or any consultation that management has done with regarding accounting matters with other accountants that we've discussed through our audit process. And there's no other significant difficulties that we encountered during our audit. So, and then of course, there was no disagreements with management or any other significant findings, I should say, yeah. So that's basically a brief overview of the audit for the year. So this is the wrap-up document. Like I was saying, if there's anything in the financial statements that you'd like me to address, I can do that too. And then if there's any questions, I'm here to answer those.
Thank you very much for that, going through the summary there with us. Are there any questions to Mr. Shrestha from the Assembly? All right, thank you very much for your report. When we go through the audit in detail, if we have any questions, is it all right to reach out to you?
Yes. And yeah, either me or Robbie, Jody should be able to answer most of those, but if anything else, yes, you can reach out to me.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
All right, the next item that we have on the agenda is the mayor's report. Seeking letters of interest, the Petersburg Borough is accepting letters of interest from citizens who wish to serve the community by filling a vacant seat on the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board until the October 2025 municipal election. Letters of interest may be submitted to Clerk Thompson at the Borough offices located at 12 South Nordic Drive by sending to P.O. Box 329, Petersburg, Alaska 99833, or by emailing to dthompson@petersburgak.gov. Alaska Municipal League Winter Legislative Conference. Mayor Jensen and Assemblymember Lynn attended the AML Winter Legislative Conference in Juneau, February 18 to 20. And Member Lynn, I believe, has a report to summarize that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad. It was an interesting meeting up there. As everybody knows, the budget's the big thing. The mayor and I had a chance to meet with a number of them. We met with Senator Stedman. We had a long time. We had over an hour. We talked about a number of things with him. One of them happened to be talking about the Papke's area where the big subdivision is proposed. The funding that Senator Stedman put into the budget is still there. It was not taken out by the governor last year. And I can say that the Mental Health Trust is still wants to proceed, is what I heard up there, and is in contact with the senator on some parts of it. The mayor and I left him with the idea that we're willing to work with the trust, but we weren't willing to back down on the need for roads and make sure that the rights of way and so forth were in place. And so then beyond that, we had a chance to talk about school funding, and the mayor was asked by Alaska Municipal League to go to the hearing and talk about school funding, which he did, the need for it. And I know he came back and he's tried to put it into context of what our situation here is locally. Will it make any difference? I'm hoping it does. But when we left there, we were both of the impression that the bill that Representative Hemshoot has was forwarded, there's no way you can fund it the way it is. Both of us left with the idea there will be funding, but it's not going to be anywhere near what I think that the schools throughout Alaska want. It's going to be somewhere, best guess, where it was last year here. The other thing that I got a chance to talk with, since I'm chair of SEPA, I got a chance to talk about some of the energy needs we have here. And that was, I thought, fairly successful. They're looking at funding some energy projects in the state. One of them being some funding for our third turbine. We do have about $5 million for the turbine, but that now is held up on the federal level. But from the state level, I think we have a chance to have some additional funding for it. And with that, I had a chance to talk with the head of the Municipal League, Nils, about some kind of a position related to the loss of federal funds and the loss of federal personnel here in Alaska. When you look at it statewide, it's pretty significant. The problem that we had was the changes were coming about so fast while we were there that you simply couldn't keep up with it. I think Nils is going to go back and see if he can get from all the boroughs in Alaska some kind of a document like we have before us today that shows statewide what those impacts are and take a position. But it's, as he says, it's changed, and I agree with him, the changes are taking place so fast, it's really tough to keep up with it. And with that, that's about all I have unless you have questions for me.
Questions from the Assembly? All right, thank you for your report, Member Lynn. Sounds like an informative conference there. All right, next we have the manager's report. Manager Giesbrecht.
Thank you, ma'am. We continue to have a problem with the lap pool with CO2. We were trying to figure out why we are going through so much. We've checked our system thoroughly and still can't understand what is causing the problem. We'll keep looking to try to figure out why we're suddenly going through double the amount of CO2. Certified harbor staff for first aid and CPR and AED. Harbor staff did great. And the last dive-in movie is scheduled for next Wednesday. Later in the year, it becomes too light outside for good viewing on the pool deck. Parks and Rec is getting geared up for the Walk Southeast. Petersburg won the competition last year. Trophy is in our lobby for anybody who wants to see it. After 5 years, we finally have Convergent coming down to do an HVAC system health check, software update, and staff training for our Parks and Rec maintenance crew. We're looking at the dates between March 21st and the 27th. Public Works, mild weather has allowed us to get an early start on spring sand pickup. And the streets crew and water department assisted the Singley Alley condos with emergency repairs to their deteriorated 4-inch water service line, which ruptured last week, causing a brief spike in water demand. The repairs are temporary, and we're working with the condo ownership on a plan for a permanent fix. Motor pool budgets are done and have been provided to user departments for their review. And our waste oil inventory is where we want to see it this time of year, with enough supply to finish out the season, but tanks empty to the point where we're able to accept the large influx we get from the harbors in the spring and summer. Thanks to the sanitation crew and the building maintenance crew for keeping the burners running this season. Director Cotta assisted Southeast Conference with selection of Respect as the consultant who will undertake the upcoming regional solid waste management planning study. This project is being funded by a $500,000 grant from Denali Commission that was jointly awarded to CSWA and the Southeast Conference. The return of rainy conditions earlier has reduced some of the pressure on our water delivery crew and truck. And unfortunately, we're doing an underwater inspection of our wastewater outflow line at Sandy Beach and has discovered some problems with the line, including a broken section. Damage appears very old and was probably caused by a boat anchor at some point. It is likely that we'll need to repair the line soon and work on a budget for this project. We're still waiting to see when the Section 243 grant funding may be released by Department of Energy, as this grant has an impact on funding for the Scow Bay Generation Project. That project is on hold until Section 243 funds are received. Work on the GIS project is focused on evaluating different software offerings to make sure that the borough selects the best option for the future. Our project manager is tracking down information to get a sense of what all the existing software used by the borough. Line crew set up a temporary electrical service for the U.S. Forest Service contractor working on the federal building remodel. And OSHA did a walkthrough at Assisted Living and decided that we need an eyewash station installed into the kitchen because we use bleach to sanitize. State audit of Assisted Living is complete. Unfortunately, they found a couple of bigger ticket items that we're going to have to take a look at. One is the painting of the building, which is an estimate of about $45,000. And water tank replacement of the water tanks that provide heat and water.
Water heaters, thank you.
Anyway, that's about a $42,000 hit, and we have to guarantee a certain temperature delivered. Can't get too hot, can't get too cold, and evidently our current system is not able to do that perfectly. Time clerks in assisted living began on the 27th, which is the new pay period. All paper time cards are going to be gone, and we'll be doing everything through Paylocity, which should save some staff time. Spring maintenance list and the harbors are getting organized as the weather starts to cooperate, and the harbor staff looks forward to working with Reed Brothers to complete the shed roof project. All requirements have been reviewed, and the letter to proceed has been delivered. Tour ship schedule is almost firmed up. We're getting, so far, 87 stops scheduled this year, which is considerably less than the 100 to 115 of the last 5 years. This includes the 31 stops of American Cruise Lines, which has doubled their scheduled stops. Harbor staff met with Petro Marine and American Cruise Lines in an annual discussion on operations at the port dock last week, And our waiting list continues to grow, and staff is receiving inquiries about the timing of the Scow Bay development. Harbor staff remind customers to submit their lease agreements sent out for the first of the year. And internally, several of the staff and I are continuing to work with our federal lobbyists and delegation staff on the impacts of the Trump administration actions. Thanks to Jody for a very detailed list that you have in front of you. We continue to have issues with the municipal building HVAC system. It appears we will need a new compressor unit. We're working on getting a quote as we speak. And the last thing that's not on there is Stephanie has pulled together all of the information we need to talk about the replacement of the sewer system in the Aquatic Center. Unfortunately, the price tag has grown to somewhere just shy of $1 million to do the work. Don't really know how to fund that quite yet. And that's everything on my report.
All right, thank you very much. Any questions or comments to the manager? All right, seeing none. Moving on to unfinished business, ordinance 2025-01. An ordinance amending the official zoning map for service area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to rezone lot 13B, plat 2008-15, which is parcel ID 014-700, located at 1020 Sandy Beach Road from rural residential to single family residential, third and final reading. At the direction of the Assembly, the Planning Commission held a public hearing in December regarding the proposed rezone and recommends the Assembly rezone the parcel prior to a public sale of the property. The Assembly unanimously approved Ordinance 2025-01 in its first and second readings. Could I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
All right, Member Newman put the motion forward. Member Schwartz seconded. Any discussion? Yes, Member Lynn.
Thank you. You know, I went back and looked at the planning group's decision on this. Recommendation from our director was to take the adjacent lot to that and also to rezone that at the same time. When they went before the Planning Commission tabled that but never came back to it. And I'll vote for this, but I think I would like to see on our next agenda that we ask the Planning Commission to go back and to look at the rezoning of the government lot 12, which is adjacent to that. From, I think it's right now, it's rural residential, and it would go to single family residential is what I believe it is. Thank you.
Thank you. And for clarification, Member Lynn, would that be the lot number ending in 450 that sits upland of that a little bit?
It's up from it, yes, adjacent to the church's lot there. And it's okay. Government, it's called Government Lot 12 is the way we have it.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Any other questions, comments? All right. Clerk, please call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Motion passes 5-6-0. Next, we have an ordinance adjusting the FY 2025 budget. That would be ordinance number 2025-02. Adjusting this budget for known changes, third and final reading. If approved in three readings, Ordinance 2025-02 will, 1, add a Homeland Security cyber grant of $26,736 to the budget, 2, correct the motor pool payroll budget with an increase of $82,595, 3, increase power and lights inventory budget by $45,000 to replenish exhausted power poles and line extension supplies, 4, increase Power and Light's heat pump rebate program budget by $15,000 to support customers' rebate applications to the end of this fiscal year. 5, increase Motor Pool's travel and training budget by $8,697 for CDL licensing. Ordinance 2025-02 was unanimously approved in its first and second readings. Can I get a motion, please?
I make a motion to approve Ordinance 2025-02 in its entirety.
Second.
For the motion, and Member Stanton Gregor put forth a second. Any discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Donna?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, next we start our new business. First item is Resolution 2025-03, a resolution authorizing temporary release of borough-owned tidelands at the Scow Bay turnaround to Andrew Rutherford. Andrew Rutherford filed an application to temporarily lease 5,000 square feet of borough-owned tidelands located at the Scow Bay turnaround for demolition and rebuild of a floating airplane hangar. The Planning Commission held a public hearing on the application on February 22, 2025, and recommends the Assembly approve a temporary tideland use permit with conditions as outlined in their report in the resolution. Could I get a motion, please?
I make a motion to approve Resolution 2025-03, a resolution authorizing the temporary lease of borough-owned tidelands at the Scow Bay turnaround to Andrew Rutherford in as written.
Second.
Thank you. A motion's been put forward by Member Newman, seconded by Member Stanton-Greger. Any discussion or questions? Yes, Member Stanton-Greger.
Yeah, just briefly. Thank you, Mayor. Having read through this and spoken to staff, it makes sense to me, but I was wondering if either Liz or Glo could briefly speak to it for those listening at home. I know temporary leases aren't something we're usually super in the business of doing, but again, it makes sense to me. I'll be voting yes, but somebody wouldn't mind speaking briefly to it for those who may be listening on this sunny Monday afternoon. Playing rock, paper, scissors for it.
Exactly. Thank you. Through the mayor, just appreciate you guys. I think Deputy did a good job of addressing all my concerns, and I believe Liz as well in the ordinance that you have before you. So I think we can work with Mr. Rutherford and make this happen. Of course, there's going to be a pretty strict timeline because we have bigger and better things happening out there. But maybe we can accommodate him and get this done and help him out. So
yes, Member Newman.
Yeah, just so everybody's listening, this is a floatplane hangar that's slowly sinking, and Mr. Rutherford purchased it with the intention of rebuilding it as it where it sat, but then it became obvious that was not going to be possible. So he came up with a plan to move it, put it on the beach, and rebuild, take the structure off of it onto a new floating raft or dock, or, you know, something that would support it. And this is a good faith attempt on his part to take something that would otherwise end up in the bottom of the ocean in our harbor floating around.
Yeah.
So really appreciate this, and I fully support this.
Thank you. Any others? I do have a question on the timeline. I know the information that we have in the packet is that the lease will terminate no later than June 30, but yet in his project development, he talks about October, November, December. Do we have a clarification on that?
Thank you, through the mayor. He had originally applied last year, and so that timeline was from 2024. We did reach out to him and ask whether this new timeline would work, and he said that he could work with that. So
project will be complete by the end of June?
Yes, it will. Awesome. We need to have it done. And
Yes. big things going on out there. All right. Shall we do a roll call on this?
Yes.
All right. Please call the roll.
Donna?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, motion passes 6-0. Next, we have Resolution 2025-04, a resolution authorizing the sale of borough-owned property described as Lot 16, Block 2, State Land Survey 81-7, Wrangell Narrows, according to Plat 82-11, Parcel ID Number 02-283-130, and Lot 13B, Plat 2008-15, Parcel ID 01-014700, located at 1020 Sandy Beach Road by public outcry auction. In previous meetings, the Assembly approved the sale of two borough-owned lots by public outcry auction. Clerk Thompson has suggested the auction be held on Monday, April 21st, 2025 at 5 p.m., just prior to the 6 p.m. Assembly meeting, but that date and time can be changed by the Assembly. Could I get a motion, please?
I would move that we hold an outcry auction on April 21st, 2025 at 5 p.m. For the sale of the two above mentioned lots.
Second.
Any discussion or questions?
So now a good time to make the suggested motion. I move to amend resolution 2025-04 to change the assessed value of parcel ID number 02-283-130 from $20,100 to $23,700, which will also change the minimum bid from $20,700 to $24,300.
Yes, thank you. I guess we can take that as a form of a motion?
Yes, please.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
All right, any discussion on that?
Would you like an explanation?
That would be fantastic.
We went a little too quickly when we wrote the resolution, and our assessors had just recently reassessed the property. We didn't double check, and so this is just making it what it really is assessed at. It was my error.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. I like easy solutions. Seeing no further discussion or questions, please call the roll, clerk.
James?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that motion passes 6-0. Next, we have...
So that brings us back to the main amendment?
Oh, sorry. Yes, thank you for that.
It's all good.
Okay, so we have the motion on the floor to conduct the sale by public outcry auction. All right, we have it on the table.
We have the motion.
So now we have to vote.
Okay, Scott?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Motion passes unanimously. Next, we have resolution 2025-05, a resolution adopting a visitor industry management plan for Petersburg, drafted by the Visitor Industry Working Group. In 2019 and 2020, the Visitor Industry Working Group, which was comprised of 17 local residents, researched and made recommendations on how to best respond to potential visitor industry growth to address the goal of maintaining the balance between Petersburg's quality of life and the visitor economy. The working group published a visitor industry management plan in early 2021, which, if adopted by the Assembly, can serve as a guide in navigating the future of Petersburg's visitor industry. Can I get a motion, please, on this resolution?
I would move to adopt resolution 2025-05.
Second it.
All right, thank you. Member Stanton Gregor put forward the motion. Member Newman seconded it. Any discussion? Yes, Member Stanton Gregor.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Just wanted to really echo what the Harbor Master said earlier, and Director Cabrera, lots and lots of work went into this with people actively working on it in the community for several years. I was glad to see it get published. I'm glad it's before us today. For those at home listening, I would highly encourage you to read it. It is thorough, it is detailed, and it really gives us a good roadmap of how to move forward and give some guidelines as the Harbor Master referenced. So I will definitely be voting yes.
Thank you. Any other comments? Yes, Member Newman.
Yeah, I reviewed the visitor industry management plan, and I thought it really captured the issue for tourism moving forward. I don't know why we're adopting it now and why we didn't then, but I fully support it, and it's a very good management plan.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was very thoughtful, and a lot of work went into it. One of the things I look at is the integrity of the people that are involved in it. And I have no reason not to vote for it. I think it's definitely a too enthusiastic thumbs up. So thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, I also read through it and thought to myself as I was going through it, is there any aspect of tourism that was not addressed? And I don't think there is. Everything from bathrooms to timing, and it was a well thought out plan with a lot of detailed additional resources. Links for other information to expand one's understanding. So Seeing no more discussion, clerk, would you please call the roll?
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes 6-0. Next, we have letter to Senator Murkowski, Senator Sullivan, and Representative Begich regarding the Trump administration's federal spending reduction plans. At the request of Assemblymember Stanton Greger and Lynn, a letter to our federal delegation regarding the recent and proposed cuts to federal departments, employment, and funding has been drafted. Could I get a motion, please?
Move to approve this letter.
Second.
All right, thank you. There's a suggested motion to add the Petersburg Borough federal funding list to the letter to our federal delegation as an attachment.
Second.
Thank you. So we have that with amended language. Any discussion? Member Lynn.
Yes. To the clerk, is there in our letter after the testimony today, would it be difficult to add NOAA as part of that letter based on what was told to us today?
I wouldn't think so. I would think we should be able to try to find a place to put NOAA in, especially if you want to help me with wording.
We could do that, but we need to see where the assembly is with it.
I think it's a clarifying question. So is this, are you trying to tie this into that amendment, like all in one?
Just to add NOAA as part of the federal agencies that is in our letter, as in addition to what's there. So I'm saying, based on the testimony was given by Anthony Tiber today.
So should we roll that into the same amendment before we vote on it then? You had to add both of those things?
The amendment to add the federal list, federal funding list.
Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah.
We're still on the amendment, right? I didn't get lost
right,
in the
we're
weeds.
Still on the amendment.
Okay,
you're right.
Sure.
Yeah, let's finish that, then we'll go to the next one. Good idea.
Okay. So are we doing an amendment on both or just on the federal funding list
as
an
attachment? I would like to take them separately, please.
Okay. So this is voting on the amendment to add the federal funding list as an attachment to the letter. Scott?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Thank you.
And now we have that added language to include NOAA on that list.
Which I would second.
Thank you.
Okay. Donna?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion and amendment have both passed. So that brings us to our communications. I would encourage those interested.
Madam Mayor, we haven't voted on the main
motion. Yes, I'm sorry. We do have to do the main motion.
Yes.
So this is to send the federal delegation the letter we have drafted with the amendment of adding the federal funding list and adding NOAA as a concern. Rob?
Hang on, clerk. I was going to speak, if
yes,
that's okay.
Yes, I'm sorry, yes.
No apology necessary. You're all good. Things are moving. No, just to those people who have written us letters and came forward today, you know, I think that's why this letter, you know, is before us today. At the last meeting, I'd mentioned we need to put something together for the federal delegation, and lots of input has come with that from other people. Speaking for myself, frankly, it doesn't feel like enough. It definitely feels futile at times, because I'm sure there are hundreds, if not thousands, of other municipalities expressing various degrees of concern how different decisions are being made for them. But it's what we have to do, and I don't know who spoke to it earlier, but the idea of keeping our delegation well posted on how things are impacting us. I hope this is not the last thing we bring forward. If we are seeing concerns for our community, I think it is our duty as elected officials to keep writing letters to our delegation to let them know the details of how it's impacting us. And this is a good first step, so I'm glad we can do it. That's all.
Schwartz.
Yeah, I got back from Tanner Crab fishing for a week, and about, I don't know, right before the convenience store closed, I bought a paper, and then
a little beat up after that fishery, but I got online and checked my emails, and Colleen looked at me and said, what? I said, well, all hell broke loose. So I tried to get a good night's sleep, and then, you know, old men are supposed to be temperate and self-disciplined and wise. So I started gathering information, and one of the reasons I voted for Clinton in the 90s is because he had promised to do a full and extensive audit of the federal government. And I'm completely and utterly in favor of a full and extensive government of our or audit of our federal bureaucracy. The way it was done then is different than the way it's being done now. So not only did I do research, but then I talked to quite a few people in Petersburg, including older federal employees at the Department of Agriculture. I just got back from 3 days in Wrangell, where I talked to Keene Court, who was the district ranger for 15 years when we were logging still. So I'm supposed to be a representative of the people. I'm still in favor of an extensive and complete audit. However, I disagree with the way that it's being done. I'll be voting in favor of the letter. I have about 15 pages and an hour and a half of stuff to talk about, but I'm not going into it. That, I think, kind of sums it up for now. And I'm especially concerned, the same concerns as, I'm not going to speak for anybody, but medical center, some of our infrastructure stuff, and, you know, even the Alaska Airlines subsidy, our schools, so forth. So, yeah, I will be voting in the affirmative on this one. Thank you.
Today somebody brought up the issue of tariffs, and I think there needs to be at some time in the future, as this goes on, probably another letter, but that needs to even be even broader. I met with the hospital board and the talking about the Medicare, Medicaid issues. Those are so extensive that I really think at sometime here in the future we're going to need a separate letter to deal with those. They're so talking about, they're so extensive in the effect, particularly in many cases, the older populations with a loss. I think when I looked last week, there was over 100,000 people would lose health insurance from this here in Alaska. And so I think there needs to be a separate one, but I think it's yet to come. Thank you.
Yes, I appreciate Member Lynn and Member Stanton Greger drafting this letter. There is so much at stake. And I concur with Member Schwartz, though, that a full government audit is a prudent thing to do. At the current trajectory with the national deficit and such, I don't think we can maintain such a course. So, and again, also concurring with Member Schwartz and I think others who have spoken, that it was kind of the way these cuts have been going down that doesn't make sense. So I will also be supporting this letter. Any questions or comments more? All right, clerk, please call the roll.
Rob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, motion passes 6-0. Next, we have communications, which are in the packet for today that have been received since February 13, 2025. And assembly discussion items. We have a fish box tax. Assembly member Lynn would like to discuss the possibility of a future fish box tax.
Thank you. I brought the three subjects up here to talk about ways to raise some revenues. In talking with our finance director, I believe our sales tax revenues from last year are going to be down from where we were, if I got that correct. And I was looking for different ways. One of the things we talked about when we were in Juneau, the mayor and I, was that SICA has a fish box tax. We looked at this, I believe, about 4 or 5 years ago in some detail. And what their fish box tax is, it's $10 per box. And our finance director told me that last year that was $150,000, I believe, that they, the revenues they collected from that. And simply from the charter, from the charters or the lodges is the way they do it. And I'm not here advocating one way or another, but it's a question I think that I'm laying out in front of folks. We can go back. Do we want to look at something like that, or do we want to just wait? One of the things that was brought up to us in Juneau was the fact that it gave Sitka a chance to see what kind of fish, processed fish, was going across through the airlines and through other means of going out of town, whether it be the ferry or what have you. And a lot of theirs is more, they don't police it, it's more on an honor system. And, but it still collects a significant amount of money. And in talking with those people, some of that's used, the money that they have, part of it goes, I think a fourth of it goes back, no, believe that. 40% of it goes back to the harbors, 30% of it goes into their infrastructure, and 30% of it goes into their general fund, is the way they operate it there. And I ask, you know, have they had problems with other people not, you know, since it's an honor system, not complying? And the answer was, yeah. But they do a little bit of policing of it from the harbor, but it's, do they get everybody? They said no. But the question I lay out here is, do we want to follow up and do something similar, or just let it ride the way it was? We chose, what, about 4 or 5 years ago, I believe it was, to just wait. And the only reason for bringing it up now is that I think we're going to have to look at other revenue sources to pay for some of these things. And that's all I have. If you got questions for me, by all means. And I'm not advocating this one way or another at this point.
Yeah, Bob, I do have a question for you. So I remember I sat with you during that time, and I think this dates us a bit. I think it was more like 7, 8 years ago, because Member Castro was serving with us during that time as well. Clerk Thompson, again, this is a data point. Was that something that was going to be going on the ballot and we pulled back from, or what? I don't recall what put the brakes on that topic at the time.
It never really got that far. We didn't draft an ordinance or anything.
That would have been the process. It would have been, since it would have been a ballot initiative on an October ballot, yes?
It depends on how it was brought forward. Sitka's is a sales tax. And in that case, yes, it would go to the voters. If it could be put in place as an excise tax, like the marine passenger fee, then it would not need to go to the voters.
Right on. Appreciate the data point. That's all for now.
A question, Member Schwartz?
Yeah, I think we need to seriously discuss it and look at it, because you talk about the honor system. Believe it or not, I can play dumb. And I baited guys in the last 10 years that were leaving with quite a few boxes of fish and played dumb. And so what are you going to do with all that fish? I mean, I live, you know, I didn't tell them I lived here, but I was like, it's a lot of fish. Oh, I'll go home. I'll go south and sell it for cash and pay for my trip. Oh, so that's a double-edged sword for commercial fishermen, because not only are you taking the resource and going back to Massachusetts, but then you're cutting into the market. So I was a younger man, Bob, but I started getting my dander up a little bit. My wife was trying to tug on my shirt, so I listened to her tug and backed down. But it's something that we need to look at, because there's an awful lot of fish leaving the town.
If I could, Director Tall, I know that Jody and I have had some conversation. I know Jody has some concerns about this. If you would, your position, your discussion on it.
I think I'm just concerned about the logistics of this and who would police this. How would this work? Would it be charters? Would it be lodges too? Would it just be boxes that were packaged professionally at one of the packaging places? Is there only one packaging place?
and things like that. I don't know. And it's, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a ton of money. And what we need to fill in some gaps is more than this. And maybe piecemealing it all together is great. But, you know, one more tax is more work, you know, more things to look at. So so if we're looking at generating more revenue, I think it would be wiser to look at getting rid of some of the sales tax exemptions we have, or looking again at something along those lines. Thanks.
So I asked the same question about a year ago, and the manager and I several times sat and talked about it. He talked to Jody about it and actually came up with some, I think, fairly accurate assumptions of what our numbers would be. And given the fact that Petersburg is a much smaller charter fleet compared to Sitka, Sitka has, I don't even know, I mean, when I charter fished over there, there was like 200 boats charter fishing over there. And, you know, compared to like five or six here. You know, there is a lodge outside of our borough that brings probably a good amount of product through town that we would not be able to capture. So otherwise, I think kind of the word that I got from Steve and Jody was that it's a great idea. I mean, it's definitely something we need to consider, but at the same time, it's kind of a wash between the administration of it and what we would actually receive. So I don't know if you want to, the manager would like to speak to that or.
I'm doing this from memory, which is not great. But I think the quick calculation was that we'd get between 30 and 40,000, not counting costs to enforce it. And Jody's right, that's the big question. How do you enforce it? How do you manage it? I mean, do we go and open up somebody's cooler at the airport? If they, you know, what's the definition? Or do we just let that go and, you know, go after it from the lodge perspective and you know, coastal, whatever they're packing up? I have no problem talking with folks. I just, some of those questions are important, is finding out how would we enforce this? Sitka has such a huge fleet that word of mouth or just, you know, honor system, they catch some of it and they make a bunch of money at it. With our smaller fleet, I'm not sure we'd catch much, meaning people would just avoid it. Okay. It's worth bringing up every so often. And if somebody has a brilliant idea on how we would enforce this, that could make a world of difference, because, you know, if Jody has to hire more people or we have to hire more people in the harbor to get 40 grand, we're not going to make any money on it.
Appreciate the question and the discussion. Next, marine passenger fee. Assemblymember Land would like to discuss that option.
Well, my question here is that since we just passed the measures to provide some more things both for our visitors and so forth, our marine passenger fee right now sits at $5. Are we at a point now that we want to increase that to $10 or to do something else and put it back on the agenda? And this could be, I don't believe this has to go to the voters. I think this can be done through the ordinance. Is that correct, Kirk?
I believe that is correct, yes.
Okay. And I bring it up to see what we want to do here. And I believe that James has his hand up there. He wants to talk to.
Yeah, James.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Hey, so I'm glad you guys brought that up, the marine passenger fee. So I, having had some history on the Upper Lynn Canal, you know, Skagway, Haines, Juneau, I was speaking with the tourism director for Haines, who, like, in general has, Haines itself has similar, like, goes down similar paths in voting, in the way they vote with their town and tourism, right? They kind of have the same mentality. And so I talked with the director when I was at Southeast Conference. She's a good friend of mine. I've known her for many years. She sent me a study that Ketchikan did on the marine passenger fees when they were trying to figure out what they need to charge next. I do have that, and I can send it to the assembly members for you guys to look at. And then we can get a better, we can be more educated on what we should be charging and like how it should be broken down and so on. So I do have that for you guys if you are interested, instead of just bumping it up 10, looking at it, seeing what the other communities around Southeast. They also did take two ports on the East Coast as well, to kind of give reference of what they're charging over on the East Coast, marine places, and here here in Alaska as well. So anyways, I can send that to you guys so that we have a study that was done to look at.
Thank you, Member Valentine. That sounds like some really good information to share with the Assembly. Appreciate that. Any other discussions?
Nope, okay. That's a good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, I do have one thing. You can't get a jar of mayonnaise for 10 bucks anymore, so thank you. That's all I had.
All right, and thank you. And we have one more item. Assemblymember Lim would also like to discuss the sales tax cap.
This one here, I really do believe we need to reconsider because it can make a difference to us. And with that, I have to allow Jody to talk. I think we have a difference on the values, but if you would please, well, what do you think we should be doing with this?
Well, that's a good question. So I actually have been working on creating a different sales tax proposition for senior citizens, limiting their exemption to low income. If we put the sales tax cap back on the ballot too, I don't know if those two would work against each other. Frankly, we should do both and have them both on the next ballot. But and I don't want to say have a special election for them, but that would be like best case scenario, I think. But Debbie's not so sure probably about that. The sales tax cap, I mean, in my mind, you know, it should be at least $10,000. Obviously, $5,000 didn't even pass. It lost by less than 10 votes. Putting it back on for what amount, I don't know. It's hard to say. Member Lynn put this on the discussion items, so I don't really have anything to say about it, quite honestly. It was very, except that it was very discouraging that it lost because we really need this money.
So I know somebody that came to me and said, every purchase I make for my three boats is going to meet the cap. Says, so he was opposed to it, you know, because he's like, well, you know, I'm shopping locally and I like to keep it local. If this happens, then I would be forced to, you know, do my shopping elsewhere. Da, 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 da. So maybe we make it, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 per month instead of per purchase. I don't know. It's an idea. I don't know what that would do. But we got to think outside the box here to try to, because this is obviously a stumbling block that you know, has to go before the voters. So that's a tough nut to crack, because who's going to vote for, yeah, I want to pay more taxes. But and even though I felt like it was worded really well, I mean, I thought it was worded very, very well. It made a lot of sense, but I don't know. I would like to see this. I would like to see some ideas so that we can massage this maybe, and maybe do it in a different election. So that was just a thought that crossed my mind, and I just threw it out there.
Matt, Member Valentine.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm with Jody on that, where it, you know, I think it should be at least a little higher because we are very low in Southeast and in Alaska in general. you know, going to another town to purchase more. Every other town is higher than us, so they still save money with us. But anyhow, there was at Southeast Conference, it was interesting, I was listening, and I have no idea how this could be rolled out. This is something that, you know, us as Assembly and, you know, the team here could work out. But what was interesting was there are communities in Southeast that do, you know, a sales tax increase for the summer. We've heard this before, seasonal increase for the summer to try to get all the transient people coming in, get a little bit more tax money that way. And so then the issue is, you know, kind of difficult to, you know, deal with. And then the locals also have to pay for it as well. But then what it was, I think it was either Sitka or Haynes, and I cannot remember, so I apologize about that. But one of them, what they ended up doing was giving a, once the season ended and the sales tax went back down, I believe what the community did was, or the borough did, they gave like a small rebate back on their utilities as like a thank you for dealing with us and trying to increase the sales tax during the summer months to try to get the transient people. And then like they gave a small rebate back on, I don't remember what it was exactly, whether it was electricity or sewer, I don't know, but it was kind of like a thank you to the community for kind of like, you know, dealing with the amount of transient people they had. So that's something in there as we were discussing, you know, as we were just trying to throw out ideas, that could be a thought. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be headache to it as well, but just another thing that came to my mind. Thanks.
Thank you, Member Valentine. Any other thoughts? All right. Appreciate the discussion there. Some information to chew on. Next, we have Assembly Member comments. Does anyone have anything they'd like to bring up or recognitions? Member Stanton-Greger.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, recognition. I was thinking, you know, living on an island, we all meet lots of different people through lots of different professions who come, go, some stay, some move on. And one profession in particular we see a lot of through the years is journalists. And I wanted to recognize Hannah Flohr, our journalist with KFSK, who this is her last Assembly meeting. She's moving on to a new position up north, and I'm very excited for her, but I wanted the public to really understand that Hannah tackles really hard stories, really challenging ones with a high degree of professionalism and an equally high degree of humanity and empathy. And that takes a lot of skill to do that. And I think that is a reflection on who Hannah is as a person. So on a personal note, you are an amazing journalist and even better person, Hannah. Thank you for your time here in Petersburg again.
Appreciate that. We wish you all the best. All right, seeing no other comments or recognitions, so make a motion, or could I get a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
Second.
All right, so all in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
They want to go? Free ride.
I'd love to do it. I got to work, dude.
I should.
How long are you flying for?
I just have to go warm it up for like 15, 20 minutes.
Teresa?
Yeah.
One passenger?
Yeah. You want to go?
Oh, you don't want to be part of your life.
Doesn't matter to me.